seated, and appreciate that good singing. I want to give you some updates. I went down to the med center today, and I got to see George and Belinda, and George is making some progress. I got to talk to his nurses, and he had quite a bit of trauma on that motorcycle wreck, and so he's got a long road ahead of him for recovery, but he was doing better. I talked to him a little bit, and he opened his eyes a few times, and he wasn't able to speak or anything, but Belinda is just so thankful for you all and your help to her, and she really appreciates your prayers. She wanted me to pray for that. I had my friend Barry, he wanted me to mention to pray for his brother. He needs the Lord, and just put that on your prayer list to be praying for him. Be praying for Tommy. Tommy's niece is really having a hard time. The one gets to come home tomorrow, but the other one is in the burn unit in Winston-Salem. Keep her lifting up in your prayer. Again, extensive burns, 60% of her body covered in burns from that car wreck last week. And their mom is having another surgery tomorrow. And then Sonny, his stepdad, is doing better, making some progress. So a lot of things just need to be lifting up in prayer. And I appreciate you helping me pray for those things. And we're going to have Pastor Tyler's going to bring a message tonight. Looking forward to hearing him preach. And I really appreciate you. You've been a big help and a blessing to me, and I know he's been a blessing to you all as well. And I'm going to have Brother Steve's going to come up, and he's going to sing a song for us, and then Pastor Tyler's going to come and preach.
It's a familiar old hymn. You can sing along.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my as a wondrous attraction for me. Amen. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday.
Summer, so but it is such an honor to have this privilege to preach the Word of God tonight with you. I was sitting at my seat over there, and I told Jasper not to do something, and he got mad and started scratching the back of his head, like, aggressively. And I said, why are you doing that? And Carrie said, that's exactly what you do when you get mad. I was like, oh. And I sat back, and this is right like 2 seconds ago. I'm like, isn't that something good to hear before you go preach? But it just, it's an honor to have this opportunity, Brother Frank. It's an honor to have you with us. This is probably the first time you've heard me in about 5-6 years. Brother Frank has suffered through some doozies from me. He used me a lot in my younger preaching days. So hopefully I've gotten a touch better than the last time you heard me, Brother. But just it was such an honor always to go and preach for Brother Frank. He used us a lot, and I just praise the Lord for that, me as a young preacher, that a man of God like such as yourself would have confidence in me, and I thank you, Brother, for that. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we're going to be in Romans chapter number 12. You've known that for about the last 10 minutes, so my question is, why are you turning now? I'm just kidding. Everybody starts turning. I'm in rare form. Carrie got me in that mood. Romans chapter number 12. When you find your place, please stand in reverence to God's holy Word. The Bible says, I beseech you, be acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brother Frank, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. So we have before us tonight a very familiar passage of Scripture, and you're going to hear a lot of similar thoughts tonight as you heard this morning. And I actually had my message complete before I ever got here this morning, so that was, I think, just a God thing that really wanted us to hammer home how we, once we get saved, we need to be growing in the Lord. Because so many Christians, it's like they get saved and like, well, I'm good. So I'm going to ride the church pew until I go to heaven. But that's not how it's supposed to be. And we've come here, as we see in Romans chapter number 12, we've come to a a major transition in the book of Romans. And if you'll note here in our text, in verse number 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore. Now, therefore, as you all know, as I've heard preachers say throughout my entire life, when you hear the word therefore, go back and see what it is there for. And what is being referred to here by the Apostle Paul is what he has previously written in the previous 11 chapters. So Brother Kenny Baldwin had a great outline on the book of Romans up to this point, and I just want to use that to get us up to speed as to where we're at in the book of Romans. Now, the first thing that he puts, he says, and I want to point out that the central theme and focus of the book of Romans is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then the entire book is about the gospel in some way. And we see that in this outline. From chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse number 20, we see that the gospel is demanded because of sin. In these chapters, we learn that we are all sinners, terrible, wicked, nasty people. Read the first three chapters of the book of Romans, and you're going to see exactly who you are apart from Jesus Christ. You may think that you're a good person, but according to God's word, we are all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are sinners, and we are on our way to a place called hell. And it is because of that the gospel is demanded. And I thank God that God had a plan before the foundation of the world that knew that you and I were going to be born sinners. So he had a plan in place, being ready for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And I praise his name for that. So we see in those chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20, that the gospel is demanded because of sin. Then in chapter 3, verse 21 through chapter 5, we see that the gospel is declared by way of salvation. I thank God for that. God could have left us in the dark. He could have let us die and go to hell and been no less God. But I thank God he has placed in his word the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we can be saved, as we see in these verses in those chapters, by faith. For salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we see in chapters 6 through 8, the gospel is defended by way of sanctification. In these chapters, we learn of how a child of God is supposed to live. We learn that when we get saved, the process that Pastor Daniel talked about this morning of sanctification begins and will end in us literally becoming like Jesus when we get to heaven. And through this process of sanctification, as we become more like Jesus every day, it validates the gospel message. You see, when we become more like Jesus, it adds power to the gospel. They see there's something to that. That message has power. That's not just words, but that is the word of God that has power. So we see the gospel is defended by way of sanctification. And then chapters 9 through 11, we see the gospel is declined by way of sovereignty. We see it talks here about, it reminds us of Israel's rejection of Christ and how their rejection made it possible for Gentiles to be saved and how one day Israel will believe on Christ and be restored. And I praise God for that. And then we see finally, back to where we are now, in chapter 12 and ongoing, we see the gospel demonstrated by way of service. You see, I love how J. Vernon McGee puts it. He says, we come now to the practical application of the theological arguments that Paul has placed before us. He said, here the gospel walks in shoe leather. Here the gospel walks in shoe leather. Up until this point, we've been given doctrine, but now we are given our duty. There are too many Christians in the world who love to study the Bible, learn all the arguments, but never put what they learn to use. They get all the information, but they don't do anything with it. This is just like someone drinking protein. This is what made me think of this minute, because I've done this. Drinking the protein and taking all the supplements, but never working out. And I can attest to the fact that if you drink the protein, take the supplements, but you're not active in any way, you're just going to be obese. And Carrie says, amen. And all jokes aside, I think we've got a lot of spiritually obese Christians. People who've got all the information, they've got all the knowledge, they know all the arguments, but they're not putting it to use. And I don't believe we're in a church where that's going to fly. I believe if you want to be a part of Mountain City Baptist Church, you're going to be a part of a church that works, that serves, that goes. And Paul has given us here in the Word of God how we can do this. He lays it out here for us, how we can change that, how we can get active. So we see here once again, he says, I beseech. So that means right there to ask earnestly. So he says, I beseech you therefore. He's saying basically because of who we were and because of who we are now and because of what God wants us to do and what we can do through the Lord, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That's what he's saying here. And I wanted to bring us up to the point. And now as we think about the metamorphosis or the transformation, I just thought it was a cool word. I went back to science class for a minute. But the metamorphosis of a believer. How can we be active? How can we serve? How can we grow in the Lord? Well, first off, number one, it begins with salvation. Look what the Bible says in verse number one of chapter 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, what's that next word? Brethren. Paul here is speaking to children of God, speaking to his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. These verses here of serving God and applying what you've learned to work for God, they mean nothing to those who don't know Jesus. See, but I thank God we see in the Bible leading up to this, he tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I thank God the gospel still has the same power today as it did 20 years ago on April 10, 2001, or go even further back, the first person that's ever been saved, the gospel still has the same power. So don't leave here tonight without making things right. God has got an amazing plan, a wonderful plan for your life, but you will not fulfill it until you get saved by His grace. Because we were all created to bring glory to God. But we can't do that until we know Him as our Lord and Savior, until we've repented of our sins. Have you done that? Do you know Jesus? Have you been saved? Now, I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. This is usually the faithful. This is usually the core. But maybe there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know the Lord. Do not leave here without making things right. The world we live in today, we're reminded every day how short life is. We're reminded how it can change just like that. Don't leave. If God's dealing with your heart, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. It begins with salvation. Now as we begin to dig further into this text, we see after there is salvation, we see next, then there must be presentation. Look what it says. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So as we think about this presentation, the first thing I want to point out is the reason we can even present our bodies in the first place. Look what the Bible says here. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Did you know that we could not even surrender ourselves to be used by God if it were not for what He did for us on the cross? See, when we were born sinners and we just did what sinners do. We couldn't control ourselves. We just sinned. See, but now when you place your faith in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, you are then given the ability by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you to say no to sin and say yes to Jesus and to do what He wants you to do. But it's because of what He did by the mercies of God that we can even surrender in the first place. And I praise God for that. That's the reason we can't even present our bodies, by the mercies of God. Then we see, secondly, the requirement for this presentation. Look what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So let's back up here and look at the word present. That word means to make available, to provide, to furnish or endow with a gift or the like, especially by formal act. To bring, offer, or give, often in a formal or ceremonious way. See, when you present somebody with something, it is a special occasion. Is it not? I remember my high school graduation. Yes, I graduated. My high school graduation, I went up on stage. My mom, everybody's hooping and hollering. And I would like to think it was for me, probably not. But everybody, and I walked up, and they presented me with my diploma. It was a very special occasion. And I'm sure you can think of occasions like that in your life as well. And that's what it needs to be when we present ourselves to God as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. And I believe it needs to be done every day. Every day we need to make a special effort. See, if you don't make this special effort, make it a point to surrender to God every single day, you're not going to do it. It's not going to just happen. It's not going to say, well, I'll just get out of bed and I'll surrender. No, you've got to make it a point to surrender to God, to present yourself before Him. Like a ceremony, every day you wake up, God, today I'm yours and you're mine. Use me for your glory. So it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now let's back up here. Bodies. I want to point out here, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to remind us our bodies aren't ours anyways. You may think, well, Brother Tyler, why should I present my body to God in service every single day as a living sacrifice? Because the world's philosophy today is, it's my body. I can do with it what I want. Well, look what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you got saved by the grace of God, it wasn't like you were signing up to get your sins forgiven, but then go do your own thing. But when you got saved by the grace of God, you said, Lord, I'm giving you me. I'm surrendering me to you. You're surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what you did. Maybe you didn't realize it, but if you're saved by the grace of God, He is your Lord. He is your master. You are His servant. You are His slave. Yes, I said it. Because everything we have is His. And everything we are to do now is what He wants us to do. We should be slaves of the Lord because He paid a very, very high price for you and for me. He shed His precious, perfect, holy blood on the cross of Calvary for you and me. And the least we're going to see in a minute, the least we can do is give Him ourselves. Don't you think? And we'll see that again here in a moment. So we see we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Then it says, remember this, we're talking about the requirement for presentation. Holy, acceptable, that means well-pleasing unto God. Remember in the Old Testament, I fell in love with the book of Leviticus a while back, and if you're in your Bible reading plan and you're through that or getting ready to go to that, you're going to be like, what is he talking about? But if you begin to dig into it, it's very special. But if you'll look in the Old Testament, what kind of sacrifice did it require? Did it require just any old animal? Or did it require a pure animal? A spotless animal? Look what the Bible says here. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We need to offer God a clean sacrifice. We don't need to get up every day with unconfessed sin in our heart and life and say, God, use me. They didn't use dirty sacrifice in the Old Testament, and God's not going to use one today. You and I have got to strive to stay pure. We've got to strive to stay holy. And you may be here tonight, well, Pastor Tyler, I haven't done that. I've got sin in my life. I've got things I haven't dealt with. Well, I thank God the Bible says that if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He can forgive us because of what Jesus did. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're a child of God and you've got sin in your life, the only thing that's stopping you from getting it confessed and get rid of and get forgotten about is you coming to this altar tonight and just laying it at the Lord's feet. You got to do it. He's not going to drag it out of you. He'll let you wander in sin as long as you want. He let David, before he sent Nathan, for over a year. Just soak in it. And during that year, God didn't use David at all. Didn't speak to David for sure that we know of. Don't leave here tonight with unconfessed sin in your heart. Leave here tonight pure and holy so you can be that sacrifice God wants to use tomorrow. God's got great things for all of us, but he won't use a dirty sacrifice. The requirement is holy and acceptable unto God. Then we see the reasonability. I don't even know if that's a word. But I thought it sounded good. The reasonability of our presentation. Look what it says here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable there means rational, agreeable to reason, sensible. That, so it's the rational thing to do, to offer ourselves to God. Because God literally gave the best that He had for you and for me, knowing who we would be, knowing what we would do before we got saved and even after we got saved. But He gave Jesus. The Bible says here in Romans 5:8, yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew who we would be, and yet He still offered Himself for you and me. And the least we can do, the sensible thing to do, the rational thing to do, is to offer ourselves to Him in service every single day. It's just reasonable. Brother Kenny Baldwin preaches a message he calls, let's just be reasonable. I mean, that's the reasonable thing to do, is to offer ourselves to Him. We see the reasonability of it, but I also want to point out the reality of our presentation. We also see when it says your reasonable service, that word reasonable can also mean genuine. And that word service means worship. So we see here, genuine worship is when we surrender to God. So many people think, well, true worship is when we come to the house of God and shout the house down and scream and shout and cry and hang from the chandeliers. But the Bible says here, genuine, true, spirit-filled worship is when we surrender to God every single day and live a life of holiness and share the good news of the gospel and be what He wants us to be. The sincere worship, the biggest form of worship, isn't at church. Now, if you've worshiped God all week in your life, and you've lived a godly life, and you've shared the gospel, and you've been the Christian God wants you to be, and then God will bless the worship in the church when you come that week. You shouldn't come to church, shout the house down, and then go live how you want the rest of the week. You should live for God all week, and then when you come to church, there will be worship because you've worshiped all week long. The most sincere form of worship, genuine form of worship, is when we present our bodies a living sacrifice. He wants us to die to ourselves. He wants us to die to our desires. He wants us to die to our wills, our passions. He wants us to offer us our entire self, our finances. He wants us to offer us our family. You just throw it in there. Everything we've got, He wants us to offer to Him in surrender so that He can use us for His glory. So we see here the presentation. We see the reason, the requirement, the reasonability, and the reality. And then once we have presented ourselves a living sacrifice, then there can be transformation. We see in verse number 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Look what it says here. "And be not." Then it says, "but be." That right there means we've got to do something if we want to be transformed. We're not just going to sit on a church pew and God just magically transform us. But we've got to do something to transform into what God wants us to be. Remember, the goal is to become more like Jesus. But that's not going to just happen if we don't do anything. The Bible, look what the Bible says here. "And be not conformed to this world." That word conform, that means to shape one's behavior, to conform one's life, to fashion alike, conform to the same pattern. Did you know that the way to conform to the world is to do nothing? Just live your life, not try to do anything for God. I'm just going to be on the fence. I'm going to be in the middle road. I'm not going to live for God, but I'm not going to do anything bad. If you don't do anything, the world's going to shape you. You're going to be conformed. Because it doesn't take anything to conform us, but it takes us doing something to be transformed. And that's our goal. So he says, "Be not conformed to this world," this world's systems, this world's standards. And we know today that they're trying to indoctrinate us now more than ever. So we've got to fight even harder by the whole power of the Holy Spirit living within us to be what God wants us to be transformed. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." That word transform means metamorphos, or the word we have today, and in the title, that's where I got it from, it means metamorphosis. It means a change of form or nature of a thing or a person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. It means a complete change of us. And when I thought about this, I thought about what really sparked this whole thought was the Hungry Caterpillar. Anybody ever read that little kid's book? I did some research. That's pretty accurate, scientifically. But at first I was like, man, that'd be a good thought, but is that legit? But then I found out it was. So we're told to be transformed, how? By the renewing. That means to make new, to cause something to become new and different of your mind, your way of thinking, your disposition. So the predominant or prevailing tendency of one's spirit, natural, mental, emotional outlook or mood, characteristic, attitude, a particular manner or way of thinking. You have anger issues? You have a bad outlook on life? You know how to change that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how can we do that? Good question. I want to use the picture of a caterpillar and kind of the life cycle to show you and me how we can become what God wants us to be. And the first thing we see, there must be consumption. Now, like I said, the Hungry Caterpillar little kid story is what sparked this thought. In that book, you see the caterpillar eat everything it can literally get its hands on. But actually, caterpillars do that. They eat, when they're born, they eat as much as they can in preparation for their transforming process to become the butterfly. And see, that's exactly what we need to do. We have got to consume the Word of God specifically. Now, we need to consume spiritual things, good godly music, good godly TV shows, good preaching. But I have learned you can listen to preaching, you can listen to music, you can watch good TV shows, but if there's no Word of God in there, there's not going to be any change. I've been there. You've got to get in the Word. And just as we see in the Hungry Caterpillar or in caterpillars in general, they don't eat just a little bit. They eat until they are absolutely full because that's what it takes to transform them. That's the reason so many believers don't transform today, don't become what God makes them, because they don't consume enough of the Word of God. It takes us getting in it. I'm not saying you got to read 100 chapters a day, but I'm saying you need to get in it. You need to read it. You need to study it. And over time, if you're really doing it sincerely as a child of God, you will get hungrier for it. You will want more. I found that in my life, and I know other people that have done that, they found it as well. Just like me nowadays, I can eat more now than I ever have because I eat more. I began to eat more and more, and now my body can consume more. And this is not a good thing. But spiritually, that's not a bad thing. You eat the Word of God, consume the Word of God, you're going to want more. You're going to want more. If you really sincerely get in it, searching, seeking, wanting to be what God wants it to be, surrendering, like we learned in verse number 1, if you're surrendered and you get in the Word of God, it gets in you, it will transform you. So we see there must be consumption of the Word of God. We've got to get in it. I thank God we're in a church where I believe the people do that. But if we're all honest with ourselves, we can do it more. We can do it better. We will never arrive, church. We got something good here, but we're not even close to what we could be. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be consuming it more now than ever. But also, once there is consumption, then it will create a cocoon. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. In the process of a caterpillar, which going to a butterfly's life, after it consumes all the food, it then creates a cocoon. And when I thought of that, I thought of a beautiful picture we see in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. You all know this, but thinking about it in this light, as we consume the Scriptures gets in us, really in us. I believe that is how we put the armor of God on. The helmet of salvation, what is that? The assurance of your salvation. How do you know you're saved? Pastor Daniel told us, the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness, that protects your heart. How do you do that? Living a godly life. How do you know how to live? The Word of God. Every piece of the armor we're about to read about hinges on the Scriptures. The Word of God. You get this in you, I believe it will. You will put on the armor of God. Look what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What is truth? He said, thy word is truth, the word of God. Your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. We do that by living a godly life, protecting our heart, which we learn about in the scriptures. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do I need to say any more? And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If we'll consume the word of God and get it in us, really in us, hide it in our hearts, it will transform us. And I believe we will put on the armor of God. That's why a lot of believers, they don't put on the armor of God. They don't get in the scriptures. The scriptures are the key. And we see when there's consumption, there will be a cocoon, and then there will be a beautiful creation. We'll become more like Jesus. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what he has done through us. God wants to do so much work in us and through us, but he can't. Until we get in his word and we begin to live his word and be obedient to his word and pray his word. And then he begins to transform us from the inside out. So we see there must be salvation. Then there must be presentation. And then there can be transformation. And then fourthly, we see that then there will be illumination. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know what God wants you to do every single day? Surrender to him. Then get in the word of God. Get the word of God in you, and then you will know what God wants you to do. So many people say, well, I'm just waiting on God to speak to me and show me. They're waiting on an audible voice. Why would God speak to you audibly when he's got 66 books that you've never even opened? God's got so much to say to us, but we have got to crack it open and read it. We've got to get in the Word of God. So we see that there will be illumination. Are you struggling with a decision? You got something that you want God's direction on? Get in the Scriptures. Surrender to his will, first off. Surrender to him. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. And if you'll do that, and you get in his Word, he will transform you. He will transform the way you think. You will think like he thinks, you will want what he wants, and then he'll show you what he wants you to do. But the question is tonight, the surrender is the key. First, have you been saved? That's the beginning. If you've been saved, have you surrendered? I want to leave you with this question. Are you a conformer or a transformer? Are you going to let the world change you? Or are you going to be changed by God? It's up to you. God wants to do great things in my life and in yours and in this church. But we're going to have to present ourselves to him. We're going to have to be transformed by his word. And then he will illuminate to us what he wants us to do. But that's the process. That's what we've got to do. The question is, will we do it? Easy preaching, hard living. But if we will do it, God will do his part. He's always faithful to do his. And I praise his name for that. If everyone would bow their heads, close their eyes.